What's up, everyone? This is episode 8 of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Morales alongside Nick Rivera. And Nick, it feels like it's been forever since we've done one of these.
I know. It's been quite a while. You've been front running. I've been trying to hop on these wavelengths, and it seems like you've been ducking me every chance you get.
Yeah, just, you know, unfortunately, our schedules didn't match up the past few weeks. I think like 2.5 weeks ago, I had a graduation, then a graduation party, and then your schedule got kind of busy for work, and then I started working, so it made it even harder to find time. But nonetheless, we are here. We are talking sports. We're going to be talking Knicks basketball. We're going to be talking some MLB. And I'm excited to do this. How about you?
I'm ready. I'm hyped that you didn't sleep through our session.
Yeah, me
today.
Sleep through.
Chill, don't expose me.
But we got to talk about the Knicks because a few weeks ago, the emotions were high, especially on my end when the Knicks didn't win the draft lottery and dropped to third overall in this year's draft, so they will not be getting Zion Williamson unless a miracle happens or he comes out and says, I'm not playing for the Grizzlies and I'm not playing for the Pelicans, so do not draft me. But unless that happens, it is not like looking good for the Knicks to draft Zion, so it's time to officially move on from that. And we are also talking about how KD and Kyrie would be coming to New York and that there's a potential for a blockbuster move to acquire AD, but I kind of want to take a different route this time because I feel like we were focusing too much on, I wouldn't say a pipe dream, because it's a very real possibility that those three players could come to New York. But let's talk about other possibilities and what could happen, what could possibly not happen, what would happen if they don't get anyone. So let's kind of just break it down, talk about every possible route the Knicks can go, and let's see what we can come up with. So I'll start off. You know, like I said, we were talking about how Kyrie and KD were coming to the Knicks. So what happens if they don't come to New York? Because there's been a lot of speculation, especially the past few days, that Kyrie Irving has been linked to going to the Brooklyn Nets instead of the New York Knicks. And to be quite honest with you, whatever happens in the finals, if KD is definitely set on leaving, I do not see him coming to the New York Knicks all alone.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. Because he's one of the guys where he saw the story on Twitter about like his high school thing that it recently came out. It was like an insight into Kevin Durant.
I retweeted that. He's in high school. And he was like, "What happens if I miss the shot? And are they still gonna like me if I don't make it or something like that?"
Yeah, the best part about it was he was talking about in the article. It was like how he was down two to this high school, and it said who he later joined in his senior year.
Wow.
And yeah, the comment section.
The trolls are out.
I'm pretty sure Kevin Durant's burners account were going wild. But I don't know, man. Seeing KD get all flustered with Golden State media. There's like three dudes over there. I don't know. He's getting all flustered saying, he's like, you remember when he like had that interview? He's like, I'm Kevin Durant.
Yeah. And then since then, before he got hurt, he was putting up like over 30 points per game.
I know, but he's also on the best team of the
league. But he was always a scorer.
But I don't know. He's not one of my guys. But if he comes to the Knicks, he's my guy now. But anyway, I don't think he's coming to the Knicks. I don't see it. I think he's going to go to a team that is already established. I think he wants to go to a team that's like not developed and create it his own. But I think deep down that his best situation is to stay in Golden State. I think he's going to go somewhere else. But I mean, if I was him, I'd stay in Golden State.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess it's safe to say that we both agree that KD is not coming by himself to New York. And there was a tweet earlier today with a picture of Kyrie apparently going into his new apartment complex in New York. So, you know, I think that only means one thing here. I think that definitely means Kyrie is leaving the Celtics and coming to New York. But now it's just a matter of which borough he's going to come to. And like I said, there was a lot of speculation about him going to the Nets. And I don't know, man. I don't see why. I mean, I guess I could understand because the Nets were a better team than the Knicks were, but you know, they could potentially bring back D'Angelo Russell. He's a restricted free agent. And I don't know. I mean, maybe because I'm a Knicks fan, I don't want to see him go to Brooklyn and turn down the Knicks, but I would prefer him to come to New York, to come to the Knicks rather. But I think it's definitely a possibility that he is going to go to a New York team since he did purchase an apartment in New York, but it just comes down to which team he picks. And, you know, it's, to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world if the New York Knicks miss out on KD and Kyrie and possibly Anthony Davis.
I think I'm in the mindset where I don't necessarily mind. I mean, it'd be cool to have KD and Kyrie, but I wouldn't be surprised at all, really, if neither of them came. I don't see one of them coming. I think if it is going to happen, both of them are going to come. But I see Kyrie. I don't know. Kyrie's a weird dude, and he could end up, honestly, anywhere. KD, I think he wants to – I guess, I don't know. He's kind of like LeBron where, like, he cares what people say. Like, he can say whatever he wants, but I feel like that's his kind of personality. And I feel like if he comes in New York and he does win a championship and he starts winning with them, he'll be, like, an all-time legend. But I think the road to doing that is a very difficult one just because of the Knicks' background. Yeah, in the past couple of years, they've kind of been on the road to turning it around. But, I mean, until it happens, I mean – you got to go by their history, and I could see them, neither of them coming, and I kind of like that because I like where they're at right now. They have their, oh, my favorite word, I hate this phrase, the young core, but they have their young guys that they're developing. I like the players they have, and even if you bring in KD and Kyrie, I mean, everyone is still, I feel, several years away from actually making a run. I don't think Kyrie and KD with the current Knicks roster is championship level. Maybe they'll make a run in the playoffs, but I don't see them being on paper. They might be better than like the 76ers, but the 76ers are a lot deeper. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in a series they would win. Even if you took Kyrie off the Celtics, I mean, I feel like, because both of those two players are so great, but I feel like as soon as they come off the floor, they would just collapse.
Yeah, and you know, like, going back to what you're saying, how you said that you have a feeling that the Knicks aren't going to get anyone, you know, the worst-case scenario right now is the Knicks don't get Kyrie, they don't get Kevin Durant, they trade back in the draft from 3 to 8 and 10, because apparently in the past few days, that's also been a possibility that the Knicks were looking to trade back in the draft for the 8th and 10th overall pick. And on top of that, so now you don't get Kyrie, you trade back. Well, first, you would have to trade back in the draft just because that's how the order of events go. So first things first, they trade back in the draft, they miss out on RJ Barrett, and they draft whoever at 8 and 10, right? Then they trade their entire farm for Anthony Davis, right, in hopes that you get Kyrie and KD to come. Then, not only that, not only do you trade for Anthony Davis and lose all your young guys and trade back, so now you miss out on RJ Barrett, you strike out on Kevin Durant and you strike out on Kyrie Irving, and you're left with just Anthony Davis and scrubs. And then your 8th and 10th overall pick become busts. Now, I don't know if the Pelicans will accept the trade if it's not the 3rd overall pick, but I'm just saying, like, that would be the worst case scenario right there. The Knicks get no one except Anthony Davis and lose their young core.
Yeah, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the Knicks sign not necessarily the A-tier free agents and sign maybe some B but have some cap left over? Or would you rather have them go all out and spend it all on not this is the hypothetical in the scenario that you miss out on KD and Kyrie. And then you have the A's like Kemba, for example, I would put in like the A-minus. Like, yeah, the upper tier. Or would you rather them spend all their max, all their cap on guys like Kemba and whoever else they could get? Or would you rather have them get like B guys, maybe like a Chris Middleton, and have more cap for like a year or two from now?
That's interesting. You know, I'm all in on spending all the cap on Kyrie and Durant, as well as maybe some
So you want to spend it all today or all this year?
I guess, but I don't mean spend all your money on just those two players. I think you have to add pieces like a Danny Green if he decides to leave Toronto, like a J.J. Redick if he decides to leave the 76ers. I think it would be important for them to re-sign DeAndre Jordan, but obviously the money has to be right for all that because KD and Kyrie is going to command a lot of money. Now, if they can get KD and Kyrie as well as, like, other good vets like J.J. Redick, Danny Green, maybe Patrick Beverley, and DeAndre Jordan, then I'm all in for it. If they can get KD and Kyrie and trade for Anthony Davis and still be able to keep Mitchell Robinson, I'm 150% in on that. Now, I'm not opposed to them striking out on everyone and just keeping their third overall pick, re-signing DeAndre Jordan, drafting RJ Barrett, and then using their as much cap space as they need to sign maybe like a Kemba Walker, like you said, or B-level guys. I wouldn't mind that because in all honesty, it's not the end of the world if the Knicks don't get KD and Kyrie. Yeah, it's going to be disappointing. Yeah, it's going to suck, especially if both of them decide to team up and go to Brooklyn, or if one of them goes to Brooklyn and the other one goes somewhere else or where have you. It's going to suck. It's going to be very disappointing, but it's not going to be the end of the world the way it was the end of the world when they struck out on LeBron back in 2010. Because if you remember, they got rid of everyone to bring as much cap space as possible to get LeBron. And if LeBron came, it would have been just him and nobody else, but it's not the case this year. If they can draft RJ Barrett, if they could, you know, keep developing the guys that they have now, especially like a Mitchell Robinson and a Kevin Knox, and maybe trade Frank for a second-round pick in this year's draft, I think they'll be in great shape. Yeah, you know, they're not going to win the championship next year if they strike out on everyone and go the route that I'm just saying. They might not even make the playoffs, but they're going to be on the road to becoming great. They're going to be on the road to building something special. I think RJ Barrett can be a very special player. So it's not the end of the world if they were to strike out and get no one. But, you know, that's just me. What's your opinion on that? That question you asked me of who would you rather have?
I mean, it's hard because I feel like if they do get guys like KD, say they do get KD and Kyrie, I think that opens the door to get a lot of other people because, it is New York. And I feel like if New York was actually a good team, more people would come here. I feel like people aren't coming just because, like, I think the whole narrative about, like, small market teams and the median different in the draw of, like, big cities, it's like 2019. And look at Giannis. He's in Milwaukee, and I feel like he's on the same level as other people who are in bigger cities. And I feel like more people just care about being on a good team now. And especially, like, look at the Knicks. They haven't been good for how long? But I feel like as soon as they become consistently, like, an average to an above average team, I feel like they'll be able to gain a lot more people. And let's be honest, people like the Brooklyn Nets, yeah, they're a great team right now. They made a good
only
run.
Two games above 500
young players.
It's not like they had an all-time great season.
Well, no, they didn't have an all-time great season, but they're in a better position.
Yeah, I agree.
The Knicks right now, but I mean if you're a free agent, like, I mean, take the bias away, if you're gonna go be a professional basketball player, like, regardless of the situation, I think you'd want to be a New York Knick over a Brooklyn Net. But if they could get both of them, it'll open the door because more people want to come and sign for less money. Like, J.J. Redick's making, like, $20 million a year. He only had a one-year contract, but I don't know if he'll sign. He'll take a major pay cut. But if they don't get those two guys, I would prefer them to get – I prefer them to get, like, B-level guys and then just keep building and then prove yourself as a consistent winner under Fizdale. Maybe not, like, consistent winner, but, like, an above-average team. You're making the playoffs every year. And I feel like that will have, like, the same effect as KD and Kyrie coming in that it'll bring people in. Like, right now, they didn't really prove too much. They just have, I guess, a lot of potential with no real actuality. And so no one really knows, like, what they can be or what they can't be. So I feel like if they – best case scenarios are to get KD and Kyrie or get some B-level guys, save your cap, and then have, like, crazy depth, save some cap for next year, and then try to lure even more guys. Because I think getting, like, signing Kemba to a max and, like, another player to a max that aren't KD and Kyrie, I feel like it's not really going to move the needle too much. Like, look at Kemba in – in Charlotte. Like, I feel like he's not necessarily on the same level as like a Melo, but he's just like a volume scorer that doesn't really impact the game. Like, he gets his 20, he gets all his stats, but it doesn't really affect the outcome of the win and loss at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. And real quick about the Middleton thing, I don't think he's leaving Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee's going to do whatever they can to keep this team intact because of the success that they had this year. And I'm pretty sure Giannis is going into his contract year next year, so they're going to do whatever they can to try to keep him in Milwaukee because I think he's going to be the next, you know, king of the East, especially if Kawhi leaves. But going back to the Knicks, you know, I agree with what you're saying, that there's this narrative that the Knicks have not been great for, you know, like 20 years now, which is 100% true, and it's no one's fault but the Knicks. You know, they made terrible trades, they made terrible decisions, they hired awful GMs and team execs. So, like, it makes sense. You know, they did this, they created this narrative to themselves, all by themselves. And, you know, I agree that that's the reason why team or players might not want to come here. But, you know, at the same time, that was in the past. You know, they got to start looking at what is happening now and moving forward. The Knicks have new leadership in their executive offices. They have a great head coach in David Fizdale. They have a great young core right now that, in my opinion, I think is only going to get better with confidence, especially once, you know, if they don't end up trading for Anthony Davis. Once all this trade nonsense passes, I think it's only going to elevate them. You know, Kevin Knox, I follow him on social media. He's been in the gym almost every single day. Mitchell Robinson has been in the gym almost every single day. So I think that these players are only going to continue to get better. And, you know, yeah, they were a 17-win team last year, but they didn't really play like a 17-win team. There were a lot of games where they challenged really good teams. There were a lot of games where they lost on buzzer beaters. There was a few games that were close that they were in it to the very end and then just fell apart because they didn't have that go-to guy. And then the whole KP thing happened, which was a mess. And you brought in new pieces towards the end of the year. And look what happened. Everyone got a little bit better once they brought in Dennis Smith Jr., once they brought in DeAndre Jordan. So, you know, this narrative that the Knicks are dysfunctional, that they are dumpster fire, that they don't know what they're doing, you know, it's not very accurate anymore. And, you know, I listen to a lot of sports radio. I watch a lot of sports interviews and a lot of sports television when I have the time. And it's just the same thing over and over and over again. The Knicks are a disaster. They don't know what they're doing. Why would Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving want to go there when there's better options out there, like the Brooklyn Nets, like the Clippers? And there's just so much negativity around the Knicks that, you know, I think some of the blame, if not maybe half the blame, has to go to the media. I feel like they're constantly bashing the Knicks. They're constantly talking about negative things around the Knicks. They never have anything positive to say. There's only a select few people out there in sports media that are that are positive when it comes to the Knicks and that are truly New Yorkers and true Knicks fans. And that's Stephen A. Smith and Alan Hahn. And everybody else. Colin Coward always bashes the Knicks. I heard something today how he said that the Knicks are a disaster. They're a dumpster fire. Kevin Durant, it would be a mistake for him to go there. But then he turned around and said, you know, Anthony Davis is a great fit for the Lakers. The Lakers have no idea what they're doing. They have a GM that's going around talking to their players saying that Kobe Bryant had a sit-down dinner with Heath Ledger 8 months after he died. So how are you going to tell me that the Lakers are a better fit for Anthony Davis, but the Knicks are the dumpster fire? The Knicks are the dysfunction. You know, like, it really, truly frustrates me and it sickens me to hear all this negativity from sports media surrounding the Knicks, because half the time they probably didn't even watch the Knicks. They just assumed that they were a garbage team because they had 17 wins. But in reality, yes, they had 17 wins, but they were playing pretty good basketball. You know, the reasons why they were losing those games is because they were one of the youngest teams in the NBA. They didn't have a go-to scorer. Their go-to scorer for most of the season was Tim Hardaway Jr., who couldn't make a shot. So this narrative that the Knicks are a disaster, yes, the Knicks are at fault for creating that narrative, for being horrible the past 20 years, but a big part of that has to go to the sports media too.
Dang. That was – all I'm saying is I don't mind the Knicks being awful, because this is what they get for doing my guy Carmelo dirty the way they did. They're going to have the Carmelo curse. And on some real, if they do bring KD and Kyrie here, I want to see some Melo love. I want to see a returning Melo.
Yeah, and as long – I'm okay with that, but it has to be under one exception. He needs to know his role. He needs to come off the bench, and he can't think he's going to come off the bench and take 20 to 30 shots a game.
Whoa, I will not stand for this.
That's the only way I would accept him back on this Knicks team, to be a leader, to help develop the young guys, and to go out there and help them get a bucket when the young guys are struggling, not go out there and try to be a superstar anymore. Those days are past him.
I know they are. It hurts me to say that. He's in the class. He's a few years away from having his retirement tour, if he ever has one. Vince Carter.
Yeah, and I think the only reason why he announced that now is because he wants to get that treatment that Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade got all last year with the jersey swapping with Dwayne Wade to the gifts. I'm not even sure if Dirk got gifts or not, but then being honorably selected to go into the All-Star game. I think Vince Carter wants all that, and I think that's why he announced his retirement.
Yeah, he's like, dang, I haven't been in an All-Star game in 12 years.
Yeah, but to his record, though, he's going to have an NBA record, 22 straight NBA seasons. So you have to give him credit where credit's due. Yeah, 22. I'm pretty sure 22? Dirk had 21, and I think somebody else had 20. I want to say, was it Kobe?
Kobe had 19.
So I'm pretty sure Dirk had like 20 or 21. But, yeah, Vince Carter is going to be entering his – record 22nd NBA season.
What a legend. But, yeah, man, getting back to the Knicks, until they turn it around, they're still the same old Knicks. The Knicks are going to Nick. I want until we make the highlight of my Knicks fandom is
the 2012-2013 season. Oh, you're talking about Linsanity? I thought you were talking about when the Knicks made the playoffs. I'm sure. I mean, he was. I think that was the same year, right?
Oh well, yeah.
Or it was like a year off or whatever.
Yeah, I think it was, right?
There was a 2 to 3 year span where the Knicks were just great. There was even a year when they were like the first seed in the East too. It was crazy. That was fun.
That was when it was fun to pick the Knicks in 2K.
Now when you get the Knicks on randoms, you're like, oh, I have to fourth it.
Yeah, man. I want to see him do it. And if they get KD Kyrie, I'm all for it. But I already know deep down in my bone gristles that they're gonna sign Jeremy Lamb and Michael Kidd.
Well, I could tell you this much: if they miss out on KD and Kyrie, they are definitely spending max money on at least one guy. I can tell you that they're not gonna not sign anyone, whether it's a.
It's gonna be Boban.
Whether it's a Jimmy Butler, who I personally believe is gonna be staying in Philadelphia, or a Tobias Harris, who I think has a better shot of being a net, or you know, even like a Kemba Walker, but they are definitely gonna be spending max money on at least one B level guy if they do in fact strike out on KD and Kyrie and Anthony Davis.
Boban.
But again, you know, like I said, it's going to be disappointing. It's going to suck. It's going to be sad to be a Knicks fan if they do strike out on KD, Kyrie, and Anthony Davis, especially if other teams like the Nets end up acquiring a player of that caliber. But you have to stay in. You have to hold on strong. You have to hang tight, Knicks fans. It is not going to be the end of the world. They have a great future ahead of them. As long as they don't trade the third overall pick and trade down, they will be in great shape. I think RJ Barrett is going to be a phenomenal player. I wasn't really high on him because I feel like he like shied away at certain points, especially when Zion went down, and especially some points in the tournament I noticed that he was being a little hesitant. But overall, he came into his freshman year at Duke as being the number one overall pick in this year's draft, and the only reason why he's not is because of Zion Williamson. So, you know, it's not going to be the end of the world, but it's going to stink, it's going to suck, and it's going to be disappointing. But you got to hang tight. Don't let the media get to you like it has gotten to me. Just know that there are Knicks fans out there that see the light at the end of the tunnel. Just know that there are Knicks fans out there that are like you and get pissed off and frustrated when people make fun of the Knicks constantly and joke around like they're the Cleveland Browns of a few years ago. But like I said, they have a great future ahead of them. They have a great foundation right now. They have great leadership, a great head coach, and they got the cap space. So whether it's KD, Kyrie, Anthony Davis, or maybe like a Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, they will be getting people in free agency. I could promise you that. They're not going to strike out completely, but you just got to hang tight and realize, really understand and realize that it is not going to be the end of the world if they strike out on KD and Kyrie.
I can't wait till it happens. Here's a hot take. I think there's three three possibilities, I think, of, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be linked. Everyone's saying they're going to be together. I don't know. I feel like it's 50-50 whether they're linked. I feel like KD, he's either going to be a Clipper, he's going to be a Warrior, or a Net. I feel like he'd go to New York.
Yeah, but I just don't see Kevin Durant committing to New York unless he has an agreement from Anthony Davis that as long as I get traded, that I will be joining you. As long as the Knicks try to make moves, I will be joining you. But, you know, to be honest with you, I don't see players going from the East to the West, or like a Kevin Durant wanting to stay in the West unless it's the Warriors. You know, you got to think, the West, it's a brutal, brutal conference. The eighth overall seed in the West had 48 wins, and the eighth overall seed in the East was like around 500. So, you know, the sixth seed was the Brooklyn Nets, and they were two games above 500. So it's just an easier path to the finals. Yeah, you'll have to go through Giannis, who's only going to get better. Yeah, you have to potentially go up against Kawhi Leonard and the defending Eastern Conference champions in the Raptors if he chooses to stay. But even like a Kawhi, why would you go from your only competition is Giannis Antetokounmpo to get into the finals, to having to go up against James Harden, to have to go up against the Warriors, to have to go up against the Jazz, who are only going to get better, to have to go up against the Nuggets, who are only going to get better. Either way, though.
No, you had me. You had me until Jazz and Nuggets. Those
and you're not even talking about the Thunder, who still have two All-Stars on their team. So I don't see players going to the Western Conference unless you're Kevin Durant and stay with the Warriors. But I'm going to say this, though. If, you know, deep down, I want the Raptors to win this NBA Finals because of the fact that I'm sick and tired of seeing the Warriors win. I was a fan of the Warriors back when they had the 73 wins, but after getting KD, it really just rubbed me the wrong way. Because they lost to LeBron, so they had to go out and get the one guy who could match up against LeBron. But they needed five All-Stars to beat one man. But regardless, you know, deep down, I want the Raptors to win. But if the Raptors win, I think that just solidifies Kevin Durant into staying. I think Klay Thompson is definitely staying in Golden State. I don't see anything happening unless he's really pissed off at them for sitting him out in Game 3. But I don't think that decision is going to make him want to leave. I think, you know, his dad and Steph Curry's dad are friends. They're obviously really close, so I don't see him leaving. But if the Raptors beat the Warriors in this year's finals, because, you know, Thompson has been out, and especially Kevin Durant, I think Kevin Durant stays. Now, like I just said, deep down I want the Raptors to win, but I kind of want the Warriors to win and have KD not play at all. Because of the fact, if they do in fact win this series, especially when it's just Boogie and Steph Curry, and they didn't need Klay Thompson, and they sure didn't need Kevin Durant, they proved that in the last series and in their wins so far in this NBA Finals, then I think that's only going to hurt his legacy, and that will literally prove to everyone that the rings that he has won in Golden State mean absolutely nothing. Because clearly, if they do win this series, they did not need him at all. At all. And I think that's going to only – I know, but I think it's just going to be the proof now. Like, he can't hide behind the fact, like, you know, because he's never lost in the finals with the Warriors. So now he can't that can't be an argument right now for the most part because there's no fact. But if they win this finals without him, that will be solid facts that they don't – that they never needed him. And I think that's only going to destroy his legacy, and that's going to make him want to go out and win on his own and prove to everyone – that, yeah, the Warriors had a great team, but I'm still a very good player. And I'm still arguably the best player in all of basketball right now. And I think the perfect opportunity is to come to New York with another star and win one championship. I will be perfectly okay if he signs a one-year deal, wins a chip, and leaves. If he wins one in New York, he will be a god. He will be the GOAT. He will be the GOAT quicker than LeBron could be the GOAT. You know, LeBron is a god out in Cleveland because he won one championship for them. And what was it, three or four tries? He's won one championship for them. And he's a god out there. One win, and he's a god, a phenomenal god out there. If Kevin Durant could do that in New York, he's going to be a legend.
But he won't. You heard it here first. I'm sorry to be the bearer. Be that guy. Will KD win the Knicks a championship? No. We will always be the New York Knicks.
Yeah, but only time will tell.
No, and there is no light at the end of the tunnel.
I see it. I have hope. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. And
there is
we will all. This will all come to fruition on June 30th, I believe at 6 p.m., since they moved it up.
We traded Porzingis for cap.
He didn't want to be here. And apparently,
there is no hope. There is no hope.
Apparently, I don't know if you heard this, but Steve Mills and Scott Perry had some type of interview session. I think it was with season ticket holders. But it came out that apparently when Porzingis demanded to be traded, he said, you either trade me or in 7 days or I'm going back to Europe. So they did what they had to. And quite honestly, the package that they got in return was a great package, in my opinion. Dennis Smith Jr. could be a great player. Maybe not an all-star, but he could be a very solid point guard for this Knicks team. He's young. He could develop a relationship with Mitchell Robinson. We've seen what he can do with DeAndre Jordan, and DeAndre Jordan has been a great acquisition as well. And obviously, if you're a follower of our podcast, you know my feelings on him as well. But now I want to switch gears here. Obviously, there was a very unfortunate incident a couple of nights ago. I think it was about a week ago at a Major League Baseball game. There was a play. I'm trying to pull up the exact game in the MLB. And I'm forgetting who was playing. I think it was the Cubs. I'm not 100% sure on what the teams were. But there was a scorching hot foul ball that ended up hitting a young girl in the head or the face. She went to the hospital, but obviously thank God she is okay. But now that brings up a huge discussion of whether or not the MLB has a safety issue. And Nick, I know you feel very strongly in one way. But for me, like, I know when this happened a few years ago, I think it was with Todd Frazier when he was on the Yankees, he hit someone in the face or in the head as well. And the MLB made it a point to reach out to all the teams and said, look, we're not making it mandatory. But, you know, if you can extend the fencing or like the fencing and have it go all the way down to the foul poles just to protect everyone. Because, you know, there are fans that go to baseball games to sit on their phone, to go get the food and to not watch baseball. And when you're sitting in those close seats, like right on field level, that's very dangerous, especially when there's no fence in front of you and if you're not paying attention. And, you know, it happens too often than not of a fan getting hurt. And the only reason why, like, we hear it more when they get hit in the head and the face because they have to get rushed to the hospital for that. But when there's someone that gets hit in the stomach or in the arm, you know, we don't really hear about that all that much. But, you know, that's still very dangerous to the fans. And you know, me personally, after this happens, I thought the MLB was going to make it mandatory to have everyone require them to extend the fences all the way down. But as of today, I heard a report that Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, said he's not going to make it mandatory this year, like within the season. And I think that is just so dumb to do because this could happen literally like 100 times a night when you think about it. Now, I know you don't like the fencing, and I'm very for the fencing, but you know, I'm going to let you take it from here. I want you to express why you are against it, but I don't get why.
I mean, it's not that I'm necessarily against it. I just feel like it's, I don't know. I'm at the point where I just kind of like leaving my fan experiences like kind of intact. So let me tell you why. So, for example, we'll start off with, like, other sports. So football, you're already far away as it is. So there's no real danger level. There's nothing you can really do anyway, and it's more of an engaging sport. And, like, for example, I'm just going to take one example. I'll try for, like, each sport. Like, say in Green Bay, after a guy does the Lambeau leap, and the helmet hits someone on the head. Now they raise it so that you can't do that anymore.
I think that's a reach right there.
Then we'll go to basketball. It was a reach, but I'm trying to go through every sport. So basketball, there's people all over the all the time. People get hit with a basketball all the time. You have people running onto the court side. Like say, remember like when people die
a loose
like
ball
a foul or not a foul ball like a loose ball. Yeah, and then they land on somebody. Then they get hurt. All of a sudden, now there's going to be these huge walls. And then I don't know. For baseball, I don't know. One of the things you go to the baseball game is, hey, I could catch a foul ball. I could do this, I could do that. Like with baseball, you could be right up next to the players. And I just think it makes it like so much more, I don't know. I think it kind of kills the fan experience. I mean, yeah, it's a danger in the sense that it could happen. You could have these baseballs coming towards you. But I mean, if you're going to be, it says it everywhere, be aware. And if you're going to go to a baseball game and not be aware of your situation, I just think you're like asking for trouble. It's like when you drive, you don't text, because guess what? You could get in an accident. If you go to a baseball game and you're pretty close to the field and you're just staring at the floor, I mean, you're just asking.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that aspect of the fact that, like, you know, you have to be aware of your surroundings. When we went to the game a few weeks ago, we were up in, like, the 400s, and there were still signs that said, be aware of bats and balls, or, like, you know, be aware of things coming your way. And, you know, unfortunately, no matter where you sit, no matter where the fan sits, there are times, more often than not, when the fans are not engaged with the game. They're on their phones. They're turned around talking to people. They're up and getting out of their seats to go get food. They're eating their food and not paying attention. And that's just where it just becomes a safety issue. And the whole thing with you not being able to get a foul ball, you can still get a foul ball. You know, there's still going to be pop flies that go out into foul territory. And, you know, I just think the net should be there for those hot line drives that get hit, you know, sharp when they either pull the ball hard or hit it opposite field a little too opposite, and it goes into the stands like on a hard line drive. I think that's where you need to have the netting, because, you know, a Major League Baseball player might, like, they'll make that catch if they're sitting in the stands. A Major League Baseball player, if they're fully paying attention, they'll make that catch with a baseball glove. An average, you know, like an average guy like me and you, we might be able to even catch that ball. But little kids, even with a glove, or maybe older people with gloves, they're definitely not catching that ball. And I just think that that's where it becomes dangerous, because you first of all, you might not see the ball coming at you right away. And second of all, by the time you do, you might not have the reaction time to get out of the way or cover yourself. And that's why I think you need the netting, and you could still get a foul ball and the pop flies. And this whole argument, oh, well, now I have to watch through a fence and it's gonna hurt my, like, it's, I'm not gonna be able to clearly see everything. That's all bogus. You could still see fine. People pay hundreds of dollars to sit behind home plate, and guess what? There's a net, and guess what? They don't complain. They can see just fine. I've been in a situation where I've gone down to the field level before games and have sat watching BP behind a netting, and that has never bothered me whatsoever. So I just think...
Let me rephrase. I mean, I'm all for extending the netting. I just think when it goes all the way to the foul pole, I think that's a little much. What I mean is, like, I don't think, like, because how they have it now, they have it behind home plate, and it kind of extends. How far does it go? Does it go,
it's definitely the dugout, past the dugout. I'm not, I don't think it goes all the way down to the, to like first base and third base, though. But I think some of them do now, like the teams that don't want to extend it all the way, but they're definitely not, they're probably a little bit past the dugouts.
Yeah, I think if they're not already, I think they should go past, like, at least a little bit past, like, you know, the first and third bag. Even not even a little bit, like a solid amount, because there's some rockets that come off that. But what I'm talking about, my whole argument is, like, when you get further down, like, towards the whole foul line. Like, that's what I meant. It probably came off not sounding too great, but I meant, like, as you get farther out, like when you're close in that kind of vicinity from like home plate to between the first and third bags. I mean, obviously it's like just because you're so close, but I feel like the farther you get away, I feel like you don't need to have that netting. Cause where was she sitting? She was pretty close. Like on the,
yeah, I'm not exactly sure where she was sitting. I'm trying to read this quick. I don't see exactly where she was sitting. Hit a line drive in the fourth inning. It was the Cubs outfielder Albert Amara Jr. hit a line drive in the fourth inning of last Wednesday's game into the field level stands down the third base line, where it hit a young girl. So she was down the third base line in the 100 level, the field level seats. So, I mean, she was kind of close. And you know, I'm going to take back my thing saying having it go all the way down to the foul poles, because, you know, a perfect example is, you know, like when you watch baseball games and the ball goes down into the corners of the outfield and you have those fans like reaching over and slapping on the wall and stuff. I agree that those seats shouldn't be covered, but I think definitely between home plate and maybe about halfway, like between first base and third base and the corner outfielders, maybe like a quarter of the length past first and third, or maybe like halfway. But I think I'm going to take back having it go all the way down to the foul pole, because I think at that point you have plenty of time to catch the ball or get out of the way. But I think they should definitely go maybe a quarter past the bags.
Yeah. I think we're kind of at an agreement. We started off at a disagreement because we were unclear. This is why you have to be clear with the arguments.
Yeah, and for those of you,
made a fool out of you and me.
For those of you who are not sure what we're talking about, Nick and I actually had this conversation a week ago, and we were on a very opposite ends of this conversation. But again, it was through text, I believe, so it wasn't really clear, like Nick was saying. But yeah, I think we are coming to an agreement here.
Wow, yeah, look at that.
But I think that just about wraps up this show. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything at all? Knicks, basketball, Yankees, anything?
Is it officially?
I think
Jets
it is,
Town
and
yet?
You know, it's great. It's great that you brought that point up. Have you been seeing the pictures I was sending you? And you know, for those of you who are unaware, the Jets had their media day a few days ago and had their first couple practices. And I gotta say, man, Le'Veon Bell looks phenomenal in that Jets green, in that Gotham green. He looks phenomenal.
Gotham. I don't know. I'm a Giants guy and kind of like the idea of the rebrand. I don't think the execution is that well. I'm not a fan of that lime green.
The Gotham green?
I don't know, man. It's not for me. If it's for you, I support it, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well,
I don't like the font either.
Yeah. But, you know, what'd you say? Because you kind of cut out. So I'll let you say it again. I don't know if it cut out for our listeners, but what was that you just said?
All I was saying how I'm not just a huge fan of the whole look. The green, the font, it just doesn't do it.
Well, I'm a fan of it.
You're biased.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you.
Did you get your Daniel Jones jersey yet?
I'll be getting that Sam Darnold maybe black jersey coming soon, or maybe that Gotham green Le'Veon Bell
jersey.
But thank you, everyone, for listening. This is episode 8 of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. For Nick Rivera, I'm Mark Morales. Have a great rest of the week. Thank you all for listening. Have a great one.